The massive data breach impacting anywhere between 4 million and 14 million current and former federal employees, congressional staff, and even contractors can be tied back to old technology. Time and again, the Office of Personnel Management tried to explain to members of the House Oversight Committee today that modern cybersecurity technologies don't work well with 25 to 30-year-old systems. Federal News Radio executive editor Jason Miller is just back from Capitol Hill, where OPM and other executives were taken to task for the cyber breaches. Jason, why is OPM saying old technology stopped them from implementing modern IT security tools?
You know, Francis, the breach really did look like a combination of systemic problems at OPM, and they're all coming to a head because of this data breach. I mean, that's why we're really talking about this. I mean, go back to 2007, and OPM's Inspector General has been pointing out dozens of material weaknesses. And while things have gotten better over the last 18 months, though it doesn't feel that way now, OPM has dug itself such a huge hole, it just can't get out of it. And part of that hole are systems that just can't use or keep up with modern technology. Donna Seymour is the OPM Chief Information Officer. Listen to this exchange between Seymour and Congressman Will Hurd.
These are systems, sir, that have been around for going close to 25, 30 years.
It was written by COBOL.
COBOL systems. One of the things I would like to offer is that, Director Archuleta and I actually were brought here to solve some of these problems.
When did you start your job?
Decades. In December of 2013.
And why did we wait to implement two-factor authentication until after this hack?
We have not waited, sir. These are
So two-factor authentication was being deployed prior?
These are 2 decades in the making. We're not going to solve them all in 2 years. And if we continue...
That's where I disagree with you, okay? Because, again, we got to stop thinking about this, that we have years to solve the problem. We don't. We should be thinking about this in days.
Now, this exchange is but one of many examples where lawmakers from both sides of the aisle had little patience for OPM's responses today. OPM Director Catherine Archuleta offers a similar response to Committee Chairman Jason Chaffetz when pressed on why OPM didn't encrypt its data. Archuleta says limitations on encryption effectiveness because the networks and infrastructure are just too old. In her first 100 days as director of OPM, Archuleta developed an IT modernization plan, and a significant piece of that plan included closing long-standing security vulnerabilities. So, Francis, this has been a work in progress for some time, but basically it comes down to the fact that Seymour and Archuleta inherited poorly designed old systems that were implemented in such a decentralized manner with very little oversight by former OPM executives with IT security expertise. Obviously, now this is why we have this massive data breach.
What did we learn that was new about the breaches today, Jason?
Not a whole lot, I can tell you that. Most of the information actually was saved for the classified briefing that took place immediately after the hearing. Now, we do know a little from that classified hearing, except Congressman Chaffetz came out from it saying he wanted executives fired. You know, it's unclear whether he was calling for Director Archuleta or Donna Seymour or whom. But neither OPM nor DHS would confirm much else. I mean, when they were asked several times about what's the number of feds affected in the second data breach, several lawmakers asked, is that 14 million number accurate? But all OPM and DHS would say is they're still investigating to the extent of the breach. Now, a few tidbits, if you read between the lines, actually did leak out in the answers and questions. Probably the biggest one is OPM did not encrypt employee social security numbers. Now, that may not have mattered anyway, says Andy Osment, the Homeland Security Department's Assistant Secretary in the Office of Cybersecurity and Communications in the National Program and Preparedness Directorate.
I would note that if an adversary has the credentials of a user on the network, then they can access data even if it's encrypted, just as the users on the network have to access data. And that did occur in this case. So encryption in this instance would not have protected this data.
And I think that was the most surprising thing that came out. Encryption didn't matter. Now, the reason why the hackers may have had network user access keys is because of two earlier breaches that OPM suffered at the hands of USIS and Keypoint. Those are security clearance firms. Now, in fact, the venture capital firm running USIS now, Providence Equity, was supposed to testify today but backed out last night. Now, this issue of the Keypoint and the USIS breach came up during the hearing, but DHS and OPM officials declined to comment publicly about this. But a statement from ranking member Elijah Cummings that was released after the classified briefing says now that the committee needs to hear more directly from Keypoint and USIS in either a transcribed or formal testimony. Cummings says he believes the committee should now request a much more detailed, comprehensive, and classified briefing from government IT experts about the specific vulnerabilities that contractors pose to the government's cybersecurity. One last thing came out that I have to point out to Francis is the role that the Interior Department systems played in this breach. Sylvia Burns is the Interior Department's CIO.
In April, DHS's U.S. Computer Emergency Readiness Team, U.S. CERT, informed DOI about a potential malicious activity, which was later determined to be a sophisticated intrusion on DOI's network. DOI immediately began working with U.S. CERT, the FBI, and other federal agencies to initiate an investigation and determine what information may have been compromised. DOI allowed DHS and the other investigating agencies immediate access to the DOI computer systems, and DOI dedicated support to people to support the investigation. Although there is evidence that the adversary had access to the DOI data center's overall environment, today the investigation has not discovered evidence that any data other than OPM data was exfiltrated. However, the investigation remains ongoing.
Now, I think that's very interesting what Ms. Burns said. It's unclear what role, if any, Interior played beyond hosting OPM's data. So I think this means that the hackers knew what they were looking for or had a very good idea of what types of data they wanted, because they didn't go in and just take everything. They only took specific types of data. Now, I've been told by sources that the Interior Department does a good job in separating its shared services data, payroll, financial management, and acquisition from other agency data, whether their own or information it hosts for agencies such as OPM. So the sources tell me Interior works hard not to commingle that data for this very reason. Burns also tells the committee she's doing a lot more to improve Interior cybersecurity, such as implementing the second phase of the continuous diagnostics and mitigation program.